Hello and welcome everybody into the Scraby Show for June 12th, 2024. It's been a while since I've done a Scraby Show, but we got some good things to talk about tonight. Thankfully, the Padres have finally swept a series, which means that we don't have to talk about them losing today and talking about when are they going to sweep a series. They did that today against the A's, and before you say, well, it was against the A's, I don't care. This is a big sweep for the Padres. They absolutely needed this. They needed to kind of find themselves again before they went back out on the road, and they're going to New York to face the Mets here. Mets are playing well, well-ish. They're hitting well. We're actually going to go over some stats in the second segment about what the Padres' offensive numbers have been in the last 15 days, and they're going to impress you. They're really going to impress you because I didn't realize that they were as good as they were. So we'll go through those all around baseball. But today, I mean, what else can you ask for? A Jackson Merrill walk-off home run. He's going down as the hero in the game, but there are so many other heroes in this game that we have talked about, and we talked about during Gwynn and Chris, but how could we forget Steven Kolek? How could we forget about Michael King? How could we forget about Donovan Solano hitting two home runs? And Jackson Merrill, to me, this is what the Padres like about him, or I'm even going to say it, what the Padres love about Jackson Merrill, because he's a gamer. And this tells you why they did not include him in trade packages leading up to this season. They knew one day that this was a guy that they wanted to hold on to, and this was a guy that they knew was going to at least give them something to talk about throughout this year, and he has done that and more. I mean, I don't really know where this team is without Jackson Merrill, and that's a crazy thing to say for a guy who didn't play center field coming into the year, didn't play ever in his life. He's playing a great center field. He's also hitting a lot better. He's hitting great on the road. And there's moments where you see him with some power, and there's moments where you see what he's capable of doing. And this guy is 21 years old. I think he's 21 years and 54 days old. Yeah, Sarah Langs tweeted earlier that at 21 years and 54 days old, Jackson Merrill is the youngest player with a multi-home run game, including a walk-off home run of all time. So that's pretty incredible. Jackson Merrill is already doing things that, you know, we didn't necessarily think he was going to do heading into the season. Did we think that Jackson Merrill's at bat on June 12th against the A's was going to make or break the week? No, we didn't, but it could have made or broke the week, and Jackson Merrill came through with a little Petco porch home run, setting records while he's doing it by being the youngest to have a multi-home run game, and walking it off is the second home run. I'm going to have to get used to saying that stat because it's a mouthful. But I got to tell you, I was watching the game earlier, and when they took out Michael King, I went into my notes and I just started writing. And I was like kind of angry about the fact that Mike Schilt took out Michael King from the game. And I know I'm looking online and everything is fine now, and I'm not mad at Mike Schilt anymore because they won the game. He made the right decisions. You may not think that with Wandy Peralta, but Wandy Peralta aside, Michael King was throwing, he continues to throw better games. Like I keep saying, he keeps looking better. And it's true, because today, 98 pitches, you know, he had to throw a lot of pitches, but that's because he struck out 12 guys. And I think he even struck out 10 guys through the first four innings, which tied a record for the Padres organization. And this year, a couple times, I have been left wondering why Mike Schilt makes the pitching decisions he does. And today was one of those things. Before the win, I was thinking today was one of those things, because I wanted to see him roll with Michael King at least one more batter. Michael King goes out there for the sixth inning. He lets the first two guys on base, and there were no outs, which I understand why Mike Schilt would want to replace Michael King, make sure that none of those runners scored, make sure that this game is still right there for the Padres. So I get that, but when we've seen pitchers go well this year and pitch well this year, we've also seen Mike Schilt stick with these guys. So the decision to take Michael King out of the game while he was doing what he was doing and striking out everyone and getting everybody out, that was what I was questioning. Because why not just let the guy who's been doing it all game long continue to do it? But they bring in Wandy Peralta, and I gotta say, I asked Chris this. Does he get the sinking feeling that Wandy Peralta is coming in the game? And we shouldn't get that sinking feeling, because Wandy Peralta is a ground ball machine. I think Adam and I were talking earlier, and he has he's yielding like 52% of ground balls, which was the 84th percentile of baseball. So obviously Mike Schilt is playing for that double play, and Wandy Peralta has gotten that double play before, but things went. Hey, he did get the ground balls. They just found the holes in the infield, and it put the game into a different gear for the A's. And also, the A's are not one of those teams, I think, that are pushovers. They're not a team, I think, where they come to town and you think, this is going to be an easy three-game win. Because the A's all year have been pesky. And I use the word pesky because they're not necessarily winning a ton of games, but they're not necessarily getting blown out in a ton of games either. They have talent. These guys are, the A's team is not as bad as the record indicates. And I would say, even further, that the A's team is as bad as it is because their owner has zero money put behind it. And you have to give credit to the A's for coming in and playing some competitive games. But the last two nights, back-to-back walk-offs for the Padres, Kyle Higashioka hitting the home run last night, you have to feel like this team is getting into that gear. And I know that I sound like every other week I have a new feeling about this team, but that's just the baseball season. I know Mike Schilt doesn't want to call it that, but it is a roller coaster. A baseball season is absolutely a roller coaster, and right now we are heading up the slope onto the top of the roller coaster, and when we head down, that's hopefully some more wins. I don't want to keep going up on the roller coaster. I'm afraid of heights, but it's something that you have to take note in this baseball team. And they did it today without Jurickson Profar, without Xander Bogaerts. Now, I saw in the chat earlier a stat about Xander Bogaerts, and I'm not sure if it's true, but the team is like 25-24 before Xander Bogaerts left, and then after he left, they're still like only two games over 500, so you can't really blame Xander Bogaerts that much for everything that was going on, and I never really blamed Xander Bogaerts that much to begin with, but when you have guys like Donovan Solano stepping up, those are the signings that are going to make or break a team's playoff run. Because last year, I feel like AJ Preller really learned from his mistakes and learned that he had a bench, but the bench was just too young. There was no experience on the bench for the Padres last year. And I'm sorry, Taylor Colway, you're getting mentioned again, because that was the one point last year where I thought, man, it would be really nice if they were to have a better bench right now. So AJ Preller went out, and he kind of fixed that by getting two veteran bats, and David Peralta, and you have Donovan Solano, both making their mark on the game today, both doing good things leading up to the game today. But Donovan Solano, two home runs, didn't see that coming. And I have to say that I poo-pooed, as we say on this show. I poo-pooed the Donovan Solano signing. I didn't think it was going to be that big of a deal. And in the scheme of things, it's not the biggest deal in the world, but it's a very important deal. And so we have to give AJ Preller some credit for bringing those two guys in. David Peralta making a great defensive play late in the game today to help keep the game in check for the Padres. And you have Steven Kolek. I mean, we talked about him with Chris, but a huge outing today. There's some mental fortitude going on in Steven Kolek's head to be able to get through that without giving up a run, without panicking, without, you know, hiding on the mound. Or there is no hiding on the mound, they say, because whenever you give up a game-winning home run, you're just standing there for everybody to see. But Steven Kolek was awesome today. He was the player of the game for me today, even more so than Michael King, because when it came down to it, if Steven Kolek doesn't get those three outs in the, I think it was the sixth inning, outs in the sixth inning with bases loaded, this game's over. A's are winning this game. We're not talking about a sweep. The Padres are heading to New York after having another series win. But that's not the case here. And even Jerickson Profar was missing today, which is a huge deal. And I didn't really know that he was he's been injured leading up to it. And AJ Casavell tweeted this before the game, saying that Jerickson Profar has been dealing with patellar tendonitis in his left knee for years. Some days it's fine. Some days it's bad. Yesterday was just one of those bad days, and it wasn't worth playing through. He's down today and gets an off day tomorrow, so I think we should be good seeing him back in the lineup on Friday. But Jerickson Profar is incredibly important for this team, and that was scary last night. I'm not going to lie. I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. A non-contact kind of knee injury for Jerickson Profar? This is not good, and it ends up being okay. Before we go to break, this is, by the way, this is the Scraby Show. I'm Matt Scraby. Adam Klug being the great boss that he is back in studio helping me because I'm recovering from shoulder surgery, as you've all seen the picture at this point, and I've had requests to make that picture a t-shirt, so maybe we'll have to do that one day. I don't know if I really want my big old face all over Petco Park, but you know, it's kind of a funny look, so maybe we'll do something like that. But this surgery thing, I gotta say, now that I talk trash about players all the time, and I'm like always getting on their case about being injured, and I'm always like, get the surgery, just do it. I gotta say, it is not easy to get a surgery. And I didn't even get that serious of a surgery. I just got, they cleaned up my AC joint. They made it so that everything fits in there. And so I'm able to like use my shoulder without it clicking. And maybe I'll become Henry Rowan Gardner and pitch for the Cubs, but I doubt it. I really do doubt it. But the surgery thing is, I have a changed perspective on this because I mean, I knew this, but guys who get surgery and then have to go and rehab and do all that other stuff, that is so much work off the field. And I have a new appreciation for guys who are able to work back during a season, work back even during an off season. But I have a new appreciation for guys because this surgery has been tough. It doesn't necessarily hurt so bad right now, but I gotta say, there are certain points where I move and my whole body like jolts and ouch. So that's what I'm dealing with. I'm playing injured, everybody. I hope everybody knows that. I'm here today playing injured with my shoulder surgery. So there's my little rant about that. Real quick before we go to break, Sammy Levitt tweeted this one out at Sammy Lev. You know, when Jackson Merrill hit a homer over the center field fence, I thought that's a big boy home run. I don't know why I said it like that, but that's a big boy home run. And Sammy Levitt tweeted, Jackson Merrill just hit one out to straightaway center against the lefty, 108 miles an hour off the bat, 406 feet on the distance. And Chris is right. I've been calling for the Padres to hit more home runs at home, and they have been this week. And so when things come together, everything's great, and things are absolutely coming together right now. They're going to New York. They're going to be playing the Mets. Matt Waldron, by the way, we're going to have to tell you about some Matt Waldron stuff a little bit later because Matt Waldron had one of the coolest things happen to him by an NFL superstar, and we'll tell you all about that because I didn't know Matt Waldron was a fan of this team. So it even goes further into the Matt Waldron lore that this NFL superstar tweeted about him, so we'll tell you about that. We'll also tell you about what Jesse Agler tweeted. We have a whole bunch of records that we need to talk about. And in the second segment, I did tell you we're going to get those Padres offensive numbers from the last 15 days. The Padres offense has cranked it into another gear in the last 15 days. So we'll tell you about that. The other thing is at the end of the show, we're going to have a daily gripe. We're going to be talking about the Cincinnati Reds fan that got tased last night, and Netflix has announced something that I think is absolutely brilliant, and we will tell you about that. But first, some more Padres talk. If you want to give us a call, 833-288-0973. If you have any thoughts about this team, if you have any thoughts about Steven Kolek or taking out Michael King or anything like that, let us know, 833-288-0973. You can also tweet me at Matt Scraby, and I will be looking at that as well. So we have a couple more segments to go. 45 minutes left on the Scraby Show. Thank you to everybody who's joining me. And we are going to roll into the program here shortly on 97.3 The Fan. Back here, not in the Odyssey Palace, the Scraby Homestead, we'll call it, on 97.3 The Fan. I'm at home because I am recovering from shoulder surgery. Adam Klug, the esteemed boss of all of us on the station, is back in studio, and we appreciate Adam because he's putting in the work. Let me tell you, everybody, when you say, my boss doesn't do anything, just know Adam does a lot. Adam does a ton. All right, I know he's probably crawling out of his skin sitting back there in studio. But we are going to be talking. I'm Matt Scraby. This is the Scraby Show on 97.3 The Fan. We're talking about the Padres. We're talking about the Padres' offensive numbers in the last 15 days. And we're also going to read a tweet from Jesse Agler because he had a really the Padres PR sent him something that I think was pretty cool. And so for all of you out there who thinks the Padres' offense has been bad or at least lackluster here in the last few weeks because they haven't scored maybe as many runs. I know the games against the Diamondbacks, the 10-3 win and the 13-1 win kind of skewed those results a little bit, but who cares? They still did it. They still put up 23 runs in two games. But in the last 15 days across baseball, the Padres have the number one batting average right now. They're hitting .290 in the last 15 days. Strangely enough, the Mets are in second place with .283, which is where the Padres are going for Friday night's game with Matt Waldron pitching. But so they're number one in batting average, .290. They're number two in on-base percentage. They're number three in slugging. They're number three in OPS with .837. They're number three in RBIs, and they have a four-way tie for second in homers with 20. So right now, the Padres offense is looking amazing. It's looking really good, and it's looking nothing like we saw a month ago. This Padres offense has been hitting at home, it's been hitting on the road, and it's been doing things that we've been asking for it to do all season long. And finally, we're getting some sort of consistency here. And if you're just joining me and you're saying, well, wait a second, all they did was play the A's, I'm not allowing that to be an excuse, because the A's are still a Major League Baseball team, and as I said earlier, the A's are a pesky baseball team, and it's not easy to beat pesky baseball teams. The A's kind of have that. I was talking to a friend who's a huge fan of the A's, and the A's team kind of has that sort of feel of us against the world, because really, it is them against the world. Their owner doesn't even support them. And so it's them trying to make themselves look a lot better than what they should be looking like right now. They should be a, I don't know, 15-21 team, but they're not. They're actually, let me see, I just had it here earlier, and I think they're like a 22-win team. But they could have easily, 26 wins. That's a lot of wins for the A's, I gotta say. So the A's are not an easy team. Now the Padres, on the other hand, at home, we've been talking about it for weeks, that they need to play better at home. They need to win games at home. They need to hit at home, and now they're 18-21 at home, and they're 37-35. They're hitting. So all of these things that we've been asking for the past couple weeks, month or so, is starting to come to fruition. And all of these different aspects of the game that we were talking about yesterday that need to come together, you know, offense, defense, and pitching, starting to come together on a more consistent basis. And the Padres are looking like that team that we thought they were going to look like coming into the season. And I know that I'm maybe living a little bit too much off of this series sweep of the Oakland A's, but hey, that's the first time the Padres have done this all year. So as long as you keep marking these little moments off as you go along the season, I'm fine with it. I'm good with what's going on. And again, it's a roller coaster, these baseball seasons. We're going to go up, we're going to go down, but right now we're on a good part of the roller coaster. And Jesse Agler tweeted this. How about this, courtesy of Padres PR? Before today, the Padres had only won two straight games on walk-off homers just once before. April 13th and 14th, 1986, versus the Reds and versus the Dodgers. Marvell Wynn had the walk-off homer versus the Reds. And get this, Bruce Bochy had the walk-off homer against the Dodgers. So that's how rare what we just saw in the last two nights or two games, that's how rare this is for the Padres. It's only the second time in team history that this has happened. And if you missed it, Padres, Jackson Merrill also set some records today. He's the youngest at 21 years and 54 days old, the youngest player of all time with a multi-home run game, including a walk-off home run of all time. Again, I have to say of all time because baseball goes back into like the 1860s and 70s. So when you're doing stuff like that, You're progressing as a team. Jackson Merrill's progressing as a player, and I'm excited to see what Jackson Merrill's going to do for the rest of the season. I just didn't expect him to be where he's at right now. And he's a hero. Donovan Salado's a hero. This team is... I was worried about this team a few weeks ago because there were some injuries that were happening. It didn't seem like Fernando was ever going to get going. Some of the pitching woes were happening at the time. But I got to give the guys credit in this clubhouse because they stuck to their guns and they are still doing the things that they wanted to do coming into the year. This is without Joe Musgrove, too. This is without Yu Darvish, too. That means that guys like Randy Vasquez have to step up. Randy Vasquez did step up. And today, Michael King stepped up. So Yu Darvish may be back here shortly, which will be good for the Padres, obviously. They want their number one pitcher back in the rotation. But when you have these guys stepping up, and when you have these guys, I guess, doing what they need to do to be able to put the Padres in a spot to win is all you can ask for. Chris asked it before we went to break and Gwitt and Chris, before we ended the show. But isn't this trade now looking a lot different for Juan Soto? The Yankees, I almost said the Padres, the Yankees got Trent Grisham and Juan Soto. And the Padres got Randy Vasquez, Johnny Brito, Michael King, Drew Thorpe, who did make his debut, but he was also turned into Dylan Cease. So all of these moves that AJ Preller made before the season were moves that, you know, he knew that he needed to make because of the status of what their rotation was like, maybe even knowing that some of these guys are going to go down for injury this year, like maybe a Yu Darvish. And I didn't think that anyone thought Joe Musgrove would be going down, but he is, and we don't know when Joe Musgrove's getting back. So the guys that AJ has brought in have really been pretty good at being able to find themselves here in San Diego, which is awesome, which is great. And Stephen Kolek, again, I went through his outing, and I got to say that it's not easy for a guy like Stephen Kolek to come in the game with the bases loaded and no outs, but he was confident when he came into the game, and he had Zach Gelof striking out swinging with all sinkers. He went... 95-mile-an-hour sinker, 94.9, 94.3, 96-mile-an-hour sinker, 96.4-mile-an-hour sinker. So Kolek was doing his Kolek things, which I don't think I've ever said before, actually, that have said Kolek was doing his Kolek things. But here's what I learned in the last couple weeks. He's a Rule 5 draft guy, meaning he cannot be sent down to the minor leagues. He has to stay on the team throughout the season. And if he's going to have to stay on the team throughout the season, or they have to send him back to Seattle, that's how the Rule 5 draft thing goes. If they want to get him off the team, he has to go back to Seattle. So if he's going to be on the team, and he's going to be on the big league club all year long, I guess we're going to have to back him. And today we backed him, and today it paid off for us. And the Padres go on to win 5-4 over the A's. Suarez gets his second straight win. He's now 4-0 on the year. And by the way, Robert Suarez is .61 ERA. He's doing, he's just incredible this season. Mason Miller, on the other hand, I got to also, if I'm handing out credit all over the place as I've been doing tonight, I got to say, Jackson Merrill facing Mason Miller, that's a big time at bat for Jackson Merrill because A, Jackson Merrill won the game for the Padres, so obviously a big at bat. B, He also put a hurting on my fantasy team, and I don't really care about it. I got Mason Miller on my pitching staff. He's been, and this is why I'm saying this, is because I've watched Mason Miller all year. He's been incredible all year long. He hasn't made many mistakes all year. He just blows hitters away with fastballs. Jackson Merrill, he said it to Sammy Lev after, and maybe we'll have to play that Jackson Merrill interview with Sammy Lev before we get out of here. But Jackson Merrill said it to Sammy Lev that he was just looking for the one that wasn't as fast as the fastball. So he got what he wanted. He got that slider. He got that slider in the lefty kind of sweet spot, took it over to the Petco porch, or took it over the fence of the Petco porch, and walked it off. And his first walk-off in his career. So we have a lot to be excited about, and I know that the fans are excited. I need to go check the chat. I haven't done this. I'm a little out of my sorts here. I'm a little out of my sorts here at home. It's kind of weird being here at home, but I'm going through some of the chats. Maybe I go to break and then I'll get some of the chats. Okay, here's a negative one. I mean, this is from Annabelle. I mean, they could have also very easily been swept by the A's, so it's okay to be happy today. See, those are the comments that I can't stand for right now, Annabelle. Can't stand for those comments because the Padres won this series. And we're not going to do the, they could have very easily been swept by the A's, because it didn't happen. Diesel says, this is where our streak begins. I kind of feel that, Diesel. I even said it to, on the Scraby Show Discord this morning. I made a bold prediction. And I said, I believe that this is the day the Padres are going to get the sweep of the series. And it was met with some, why are you jinxing us? But it happened, and so I spoke it into existence. I'm just picking on Annabelle because sometimes what she says on the chat ends up going in reverse, and so it's like a hex of sorts. But I know that there are a lot of people out there that do feel like you, Annabelle, that think, Scraby, get over it, dude. It's just the A's. Like, it's not that big of a deal that they swept the A's. I disagree. It is a big deal. All right, Sammy Lev, after the game, talk to the hero of the game, Jackson Merrill. Here's his post-game interview.
Jackson, you were facing the hardest thrower in all of baseball. How were you able to get such a good swing on that pitch?
I mean, you know, if it's not a fastball, it's going to be slow. So you got to just get the head out, and then you adjust if it's an off-speed pitch, and he gave me an off-speed pitch.
Another great crowd here at Petco Park. You walk it off. Your emotions rounding those bases.
Yeah, I mean, it's just joy. You know, we come here, we play hard every day, and you know, we've kind of let the fans down at the beginning of the season, so it feels good to leave here with a sweep and go on the road and keep winning.
You said it, first sweep of the season for this team. What does it say about this group that you guys were able to come back the way you have the last couple of days?
I mean, that's all we care about is winning. So we don't care about anything else but winning. You know, we're going to fight as long as we possibly can. You know, we're there in the end every day. And, you know, we showed up big time. You know, Donnie had a hell of a day with two homers. He really kept us in that game, and then I kind of came up and did my job. But, you know, tomorrow's going to be someone else's day, too. You know, it's not one person's day every day. We're a team.
Jackson, congratulations on an awesome ending. What a moment. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
And then Sam promptly ran back up to the top of the Western Metal Supply building, and it was funny. I saw a tweet out there saying, I've seen the run now. I've seen Sam with tripod, with phone, running to the top of the Western Metal building. And if you ever want to see a hilarious YouTube video, I don't want to say laugh at Sammy Lev, but just tune in after he has to interview someone. The Padres win at home. Tune in to the YouTube postgame show, because he will be out of breath. And believe me, I've done it too. I've only done it once, and it was maybe one of the most stressful things I've done in my radio career, and Sammy Levitt does it all the time. But Jackson Merrill right there after a big win for the Padres, and I like, he keeps things simple. He's not a 21-year-old. I don't know why I couldn't have been as mature at the age of 21. I was nowhere near this mature, and he's kind of had to grow up a little bit faster being in the public spotlight as much as he is, but he's embracing it. And I heard, I can't remember which game it was, but I heard one of the broadcasters either on radio or TV, because I was listening to both of them recently, but the Jackson Merrill just wants to get better. He doesn't want to just get to a point where he's pretty good. He wants to be great, and he keeps striving to be great. And you can see that in the way that he plays. You can see that because he is continuing to get better at center field, and he's also continuing to hit better. And he's also developing a little bit more power. And I think as Jackson Merrill grows up a little bit, and it's kind of crazy for me to say, but I am 18 years older than him, which is also kind of crazy for me to say. But as he gets older, he's going to hit for more power. It's going to translate, and I'm really excited about it, and I'm happy that Jackson Merrill was able to stick with the team, because I know that there are some people out there that were angry that they got rid of James Wood, who's now with the Nationals, angry that they got rid of Mackenzie Gore. But right now, I think things are working out for the best, and I think that these are the times. Sorry, I just read something and then completely forgot what I was saying. Dan said, Merrill, Padres center fielder, next 15 years. Gonzo said he's going to get some man meat. I know what you mean, muscle. But with that, Gonzo, we're going to head to break. On the other side, if you have any other things you want to talk about with the Padres, please give me a call, 833-288-0973. Are you worried about this road trip coming up? Are you happy about Jackson Merrill, Donovan Solano, David Peralta, any of those guys, Stephen Kolek? Just let us know, 833-288-0973. But on the other side, we're going to have a kind of a potpourri. We're going to have something that Netflix has announced, and it's a sports... It's going to break the internet when it happens. So we'll talk about that. We'll also talk about the Cincinnati Reds fan who got tased, and Matt Waldron got a pretty cool present on Twitter today. And we'll tell you all about that when we get back here on the Scraby Show on 97.3 The Fan. Final segment here on the Scraby Show, 97.3 The Fan. We are happy here on 97.3 The Fan. The Padres sweep the series from the A's. They win today 5-4. Back-to-back days with walk-off moments, walk-off home runs. Yesterday by Kyle Higashioka. I don't know why I said Tyler. I'm looking at Tyler on my screen. He hit the home run last night, and Jackson Merrill hit the home run today, his second of the day, that ended up walking it off for the Padres. And before we get into some of these outside stories that I wanted to talk about, the Patrick Mahomes, all that, I want to talk about Fernando Tatis Jr., because coming into today, he has been on a hitting tear, and I believe he reached 17 games in a row with his hitting streak. And so that happened last night. I think he even got it in the first at-bat of the game last night. And he, today, came to the plate in the eighth inning. Obviously, they needed to get base runners in any way possible because they were down two runs. He needed to get on base. And you know what Fernando Tatis Jr. did? He walked. And the reason I'm saying it like that is because that is selfless. And that is what teammates do. I think that was his longest hitting streak of his own career. But 17 games is something that doesn't come around often. And Fernando had some pitches there that he could have swung at. He had some pitches that were outside the zone that he could have tried to hit and tried to continue his hitting streak. But there needs to be massive props to Fernando Tatis Jr. today. And Tom said it on Twitter. At the game today, proudly sporting my Merrill jersey. One of the coolest Padres wins I've gotten to see in person. Walk off in a sweep. So many good contributions today, i.e. Tatis, unselfish AB in the eighth, taking a walk and losing his 17-game hitting streak for the team. And now, I guess individual accolades are great, and individual accolades are great for the person. It's fun for fans, too, to follow a certain player. But the team wins are what we're looking for, and Fernando delivered with the walk in a position where he needed to have a walk, because you know what happened? Two batters later, well, Manny Machado struck out on a foul tip the next at-bat. So two outs, Donovan Solano homers on a fly ball to center. Fernando scores. Game is tied. Fernando doesn't get that walk. He doesn't get on base. Donovan Solano hits a solo shot. They're still losing this game 4-3, and they didn't. And Fernando Tatis Jr. deserves some major credit for that, for going up there and getting the walk. Let's see. He took a ball to start the at-bat. He swung at a strike, a slider. He swung at a sinker. 1-2, battles back with another ball, a slider, and then a 100-mile-an-hour sinker That was a little bit lower of the zone. But the final ball that he took that ended up walking him was the closest one, and it was a 99.8-mile-an-hour sinker. So everything that Fernando is doing right now at the plate is working, and he's getting on base in so many different ways. I mean, he's even been hit by a ton of pitches lately. So he's getting on base being hit by a pitch. He's getting on base by getting hits, and he's getting on base by walking a ton. So Fernando, big part of that today. And like Tom said in the tweet, There are a lot of people that we should be talking about today as heroes for the Padres, and not just one person, not just Jackson Merrill. There's many, but Jackson Merrill is pretty fun. All right, let's get into this Matt Waldron thing real quick, because Matt Waldron, as you know, knuckleballer, didn't really want to be known as a knuckleballer, but I didn't know this. I did know this part. I didn't know the second part of this. He's an Omaha, Nebraska native, and he's also a Chiefs fan, which, sorry, Matt Waldron. I can't get behind the Chiefs fandom, but he was in the stands, actually. He's such a big Chiefs fan. He was in the regular season Bills game this year when Travis Kelce threw that lateral and Kadarius Toney was offsides. And this is from AJ Cassavell, by the way. And Patrick Mahomes today dropped a tweet, and it said this, because someone posted him trying to throw a football like a baseball, and you have to go to Patrick Mahomes' Twitter to kind of see all this happen. It's at Patrick Mahomes. But then Patrick Mahomes tweeted, "I'm trying to learn the knuckleball the Waldron dude from the Padres throws." And the video, Adam has it on the stream right now. I got to say, it's a pretty good interpretation of what's going on with Matt Waldron's swing. There's other ones out there, too. If you look on Patrick Mahomes' Twitter, if you just go down his page a little bit, you'll see that he has one for Nestor Cortez, where he's like, you know, Nestor Cortez is kicking his leg out all crazy all the time. But Patrick Mahomes had a good old time. Matt Waldron was the first one that he mentioned that I saw. And I guess AJ Cassavell or the reporters went and asked Matt Waldron about it. And he said, "It's kind of crazy. Like I'm living in a different universe," is what Matt Waldron said. Which, when Patrick Mahomes tweets about you, you are living in a different universe. Patrick Mahomes is one of the most famous athletes on the planet. He knows who you are, Matt Waldron. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's really cool. It's like the time that Joe Musgrove pranked me, saying that I wasn't in good favor with the clubhouse. You know, it feels good when someone of that stature kind of knows who you are. I won't lie. I felt good about it. Like, hey, Joe Musgrove knows who I am. I still need to go down there and give Joe a hard time, because every time I go down there to give Joe a hard time, I am not I don't see him. So I got to go find him. We got to go talk about that. But Matt Waldron being mentioned by Patrick Mahomes, pretty awesome. Also a reminder, it's June 12th. Football is right around the corner. We have plenty of baseball, obviously, here left with the 2024 season. But they're already getting into their OTAs. New York Jets media is already, like, going crazy on Aaron Rodgers right now for not showing up to mandatory minicamp or whatever. I think they even published a cover of him being invisible. Like, all it was just his uniform. There was no Aaron Rodgers in his uniform, which was kind of funny, but that's something for another day. Now, the next thing that I wanted to get into was, yesterday we talked about Joey Chestnut being banned from the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and it's a travesty, let me tell you. Number one, I think the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is making a massive mistake by banning him, and I don't know the whole rules behind it. Maybe Nathan's themselves has a contract that says you can't have an athlete who is represented by another hot dog company. You can't have him be in it or whatever, but you got to have Joey Chestnut in it. They didn't allow it. So Netflix did what I think Netflix should do. Netflix went out, and they have now a Chestnut versus Kobayashi unfinished beef hot dog eating competition, which is going to air live on Netflix Monday, September 2nd. What'd you say, Adam? Unfinished beef. And it's true, it's unfinished beef, because Kobayashi's been banned from the hot dog. Listen to me, I'm getting more excited about the hot dog competition than I did about the Padres game today. But the hot dog competition, for years, everybody's been complaining about it. Joey Chestnut always wins. No one can ever challenge him. Kobayashi was the only guy who would ever do anything to challenge Joey Chestnut. And they're going to do it live on Netflix. on September 2nd. Chestnut versus Kobayashi, unfinished beef. I love the name. It feels like they put this together in about 5 minutes, which they absolutely needed to do, because this is a brilliant idea from Netflix. This is where they should live, though. I don't need any more live sports. I don't need these Christmas NFL games. If you could bring me cool little things like this, Chestnut versus Kobayashi, Netflix, you got me watching. I may not watch this live, but let's be honest, I probably am going to watch it live. Come on. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be great. It's going to be all of the above. All right. Last thing before we head into the Daily Gripe. And Cincinnati Reds fan, I never understand these people that jump onto the field when this guy's not even streaking or anything like that. He just jumped on the field and the Cincinnati police had to chase him. So Adam's got it going on the screen right now. He actually stops in like left center, does a standing backflip, which is incredible because I don't know many people that could do it. But one of the greatest pictures that came out of this was the police officer trying to get him under control, tased the dude. Like, you see the guy do a backflip, then you see the officer pull his taser, then you see the guy go down, and you can find this video anywhere. But the Cincinnati Reds fan who did this, and his name is William Hendon, he's a 19-year-old student at Ohio State University. He ran on the field, as we just talked about, but he showed up to court this morning in his Reds jersey that he was wearing when he was arrested last night. And there's a picture of this on the Cincinnati Inquirer of him showing up. I believe he was probably intoxicated when he did this. And so he looks in the picture like he has had a rough night in the slammer, as they call it. But he took it a little bit further. The municipal court judge, William Mallory, said, "Everybody thinks you landed that bat flip." Hendon replied, "I'm pretty sure I did." Which he did. He absolutely did. So I don't know about talking back to a judge or like being cool or thinking you're cool for doing this, but the picture of the police officer who tased him, he looks so serious, and it's so hilarious that this dude got tased. They actually let him out of all of the stuff that he was facing. Like, they're not going to put him in jail. They're not going to fine him a bunch of money. So he gets out of this, but come on, people. Do not. There he is. Adam has it on the screen. He looks like he's been through a rough night in jail, I got to say. But he's 19. He's got a whole life ahead of him. He's probably going to talk about this as if it was the greatest thing until he has to get a job. And then people are going to look online and see that he was this guy, and then they're not going to give him a job. That's how that goes. All right. We are running out of time, so we need to get to this.
What's annoying Scraby today? Let's find out. It's time for the Daily Gripe.
For the Daily Gripe, tune in every Thursday, so tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Bennett Woods, Annie and Elston, and Chris Ello tomorrow, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. So 10 a.m. tomorrow, don't miss it. Daily Gripe for today has to do with my surgery on my shoulder, and it's a simple one. I'm getting old, people. And I know that there's people out there thinking, you're 39, that's not old. And it's not. It's not old. You're right. It's not old at all. But I am feeling like I'm 79 at this moment in time in life. And I'm feeling, I guess I'm like starting to realize my own mortality here. And I'm not Chris's age, 172. I'm not that. But I'm feeling old, and that's my gripe, is that I'm getting older. I'm sorry, that's all I got. But my shoulder hurts all the time now. My back, I woke up this morning, it was tight. Things weren't going my way. So I just felt like it was time to make the Daily Gripe this. And it's my age. All right, thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I will be back on tomorrow. We have a full three-hour show before the Roundtable Replay. Or actually, the schedule's a little bit different tomorrow. We'll get back to you on that. But we are going to have the Roundtable tomorrow in the afternoon. Know that. And I will be with you tomorrow afternoon. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Adam Clute, for running the board. Have a good night. Final segment here on the Scraby Show, 97.3 The Fan. We are happy here on 97.3 The Fan. The Padres sweep the series from the A's. They win today 5-4. Back-to-back days with walk-off moments, walk-off home runs. Yesterday by Tyler, why did I forget his last name? Kyle Higashioka. I don't know why I said Tyler. I'm looking at Tyler on my screen. He hit the home run last night, and Jackson Merrill hit the home run today, his second of the day, that ended up walking it off for the Padres. And before we get into some of these outside stories that I wanted to talk about, the Patrick Mahomes, all that, I want to talk about Fernando Tatis Jr., because coming into today, he has been on a hitting tear, and I believe he reached 17 games in a row with his hitting streak. And so that happened last night. I think he even got it in the first at bat of the game last night. And he today came to the plate in the eighth inning. Obviously, they needed to get base runners in any way possible because they were down two runs. He needed to get on base. And you know what Fernando Tatis Jr. did? He walked. And the reason I'm saying it like that is because that is selfless. And that is what teammates do. I think that was his longest hitting streak of his own career. But 17 games is something that doesn't come around often. And Fernando had some pitches there that he could have swung at. He had some pitches that were outside the zone that he could have tried to hit and tried to continue his hitting streak. But there needs to be massive props to Fernando Tatis Jr. today. And Tom said it on Twitter. At the game today, proudly sporting my Merrill jersey, one of the coolest Padres wins I've gotten to see in person, walk off in a sweep. So many good contributions today, i.e. Tatis' unselfish AB in the eighth, taking a walk and losing his 17-game hitting streak for the team. And now, I guess individual accolades are great, and individual accolades are great for the person. It's fun for fans, too, to follow a certain player. But the team wins are what we're looking for, and Fernando delivered with the walk in a position where he needed to have a walk, because you know what happened? Two batters later, Manny Machado struck out on a foul tip the next at-bat. So two outs, Donovan Solano homers on a fly ball to center, Fernando scores, game is tied. Fernando doesn't get that walk, he doesn't get on base, Donovan Solano hits a solo shot, they're still losing this game 4-3. And they didn't. And Fernando Tatis Jr. deserves some major credit for that, for going up there and getting the walk. Let's see, he took a ball to start the at-bat. He swung at a strike, a slider. He swung at a sinker. 1-2, battles back with another ball, a slider, and then a 100-mile-an-hour sinker that was a little bit lower of the zone. But the final ball that he took that ended up walking him was the closest one, and it was a 99.8-mile-an-hour sinker. So everything that Fernando is doing right now at the plate is working, and he's getting on base in so many different ways. I mean, he's even been hit by a ton of pitches lately. So he's getting on base being hit by a pitch. He's getting on base by getting hits, and he's getting on base by walking a ton. So Fernando, big part of that today. And like Tom said in the tweet, There are a lot of people that we should be talking about today as heroes for the Padres, and not just one person, not just Jackson Merrill. There's many, but Jackson Merrill is pretty fun. All right, let's get into this Matt Waldron thing real quick, because Matt Waldron, as you know, knuckleballer, didn't really want to be known as a knuckleballer, but I didn't know this. I did know this part. I didn't know the second part of this. He's an Omaha, Nebraska native, and he's also a Chiefs fan. Which, sorry, Matt Waldron, I can't get behind the Chiefs fandom. But he was in the stands, actually. He's such a big Chiefs fan. He was in the regular season Bills game this year when Travis Kelce threw that lateral and Kadarius Toney was offsides. And this is from AJ Cassavell, by the way. And Patrick Mahomes today dropped a tweet, and it said this. Because someone posted him trying to throw a football like a baseball. And you have to go to Patrick Mahomes' Twitter to kind of see all this happen. It's at Patrick Mahomes. But then Patrick Mahomes tweeted, "I'm trying to learn the knuckleball the Waldron dude from the Padres throws." And the video, Adam has it on the stream right now. I got to say, it's a pretty good interpretation of what's going on with Matt Waldron's swing. There's other ones out there, too. If you look on Patrick Mahomes' Twitter, if you just go down his page a little bit, you'll see that he has one for Nestor Cortez where he's like, you know, Nestor Cortez is kicking his leg out all crazy all the time. But Patrick Mahomes had a good old time. Matt Waldron was the first one that he mentioned that I saw. And I guess AJ Cassavell or the reporters went and asked Matt Waldron about it. And he said, "It's kind of crazy. Like I'm living in a different universe," is what Matt Waldron said. Which, when Patrick Mahomes tweets about you, you are living in a different universe. Patrick Mahomes is one of the most famous people, famous athletes on the planet. He knows who you are, Matt Waldron. I think that's pretty cool. I think that's really cool. It's like the time that Joe Musgrove pranked me, saying that I wasn't in good favor with the clubhouse. You know, it feels good when someone of that stature kind of knows who you are. I won't lie. I felt good about it. Like, hey, Joe Musgrove knows who I am. I still need to go down there and give Joe a hard time, because every time I go down there to give Joe a hard time, I am not, I don't see him. So I got to go find him. We got to go talk about that. But Matt Waldron being mentioned by Patrick Mahomes, pretty awesome. Also a reminder, it's June 12th. Football is right around the corner. We have plenty of baseball, obviously, here left with the 2024 season, but they're already getting into their OTAs. New York Jets media is already, like, going crazy on Aaron Rodgers right now for not showing up to mandatory minicamp or whatever. I think they even published a cover of him being invisible. Like, all it was just his uniform. There was no Aaron Rodgers in his uniform, which was kind of funny, but that's something for another day. Now, the next thing that I wanted to get into was, yesterday we talked about Joey Chestnut being banned from the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest, and it's a travesty, let me tell you. Number one, I think the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest is making a massive mistake by banning him, and I don't know the whole rules behind it. Maybe Nathan's themselves has a contract that says you can't have an athlete who is represented by another hot dog company. You can't have him be in it or whatever, but you got to have Joey Chestnut in it. They didn't allow it. So Netflix did what I think Netflix should do. Netflix went out, and they have now a Chestnut versus Kobayashi unfinished beef hot dog eating competition, which is going to air live on Netflix Monday, September 2nd. What'd you say, Adam? Unfinished beef. And it's true, it's unfinished beef, because Kobayashi's been banned from the hot dog. Listen to me, I'm getting more excited about the hot dog competition than I did about the Padres game today. But the hot dog competition, for years, everybody's been complaining about it. Joey Chestnut always wins. No one can ever challenge him. Kobayashi was the only guy who would ever do anything to challenge Joey Chestnut. And they're going to do it live on Netflix on September 2nd. Chestnut versus Kobayashi, unfinished beef. I love the name. It feels like they put this together in about 5 minutes, which they absolutely needed to do, because this is a brilliant idea from Netflix. This is where they should live, though. I don't need any more live sports. I don't need these Christmas NFL games. If you could bring me cool little things like this, Chestnut versus Kobayashi, Netflix, you got me watching. I may not watch this live, but let's be honest, I probably am going to watch it live. Come on. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be great. It's going to be all of the above. All right. Last thing before we head into the Daily Gripe. And Cincinnati Reds fan, I never understand these people that jump onto the field when this guy's not even streaking or anything like that. He just jumped on the field and the Cincinnati police had to chase him. So Adam's got it going on the screen right now. He actually stops in, like, left center, does a standing backflip, which is incredible, because I don't know many people that could do it. But one of the greatest pictures that came out of this was the police officer trying to get him under control, tased the dude. Like, you see the guy do a backflip, then you see the officer pull his taser, then you see the guy go down. And you can find this video anywhere. But the Cincinnati Reds fan who did this, and his name is William Hendon. He's a 19-year-old student at Ohio State University. He ran on the field, as we just talked about, but he showed up to court this morning in his Reds jersey that he was wearing when he was arrested last night. And there's a picture of this on the Cincinnati Inquirer of him showing up. I believe he was probably intoxicated when he did this. And so he looks in the picture like he has had a rough night in the slammer, as they call it. But He also took it, a little bit further. The municipal court judge, William Mallory, said, "Everybody thinks you landed that bat flip." Hendon replied, "I'm pretty sure I did." Which he did. He absolutely did. So I don't know about talking back to a judge or like being cool or thinking you're cool for doing this, but the picture of the police officer who tased him, he looks so serious, and it's so hilarious that this dude got tased. They actually let him out of all of the stuff that he was facing. Like, they're not going to put him in jail. They're not going to fine him a bunch of money. So he gets out of this, but come on, people. Do not. There he is. Adam has it on the screen. He looks like he's been through a rough night in jail, I got to say. But he's 19. He's got a whole life ahead of him. He's probably going to talk about this as if it was the greatest thing until he has to get a job. And then people are going to look online and see that he was this guy, and then they're not going to give him a job. That's how that goes. All right. We are running out of time, so we need to get to this.
What's annoying Scraby today? Let's find out. It's time for the Daily Gripe.
For the Daily Gripe, tune in every Thursday, so tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. for 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable featuring Bennett Woods, Annie and Elston, and Chris Ello tomorrow, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. So 10 a.m. tomorrow, don't miss it. Daily Gripe for today has to do with my surgery on my shoulder, and it's a simple one. I'm getting old, people. And I know that there's people out there thinking, you're 39, that's not old. And it's not. It's not old. You're right. It's not old at all. But I am feeling like I'm 79 at this moment in time in life. And I'm feeling, I guess I'm like starting to realize my own mortality here. And I'm not Chris's age, 172. I'm not that. But I'm feeling old, and that's my gripe, is that I'm getting older. I'm sorry. That's all I got. But my shoulder hurts all the time now. My back, I woke up this morning, it was tight. Things weren't going my way. So I just felt like it was time to make the Daily Gripe this. And it's my age. All right. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening. I will be back on tomorrow. We have a full three-hour show before the Roundtable Replay. Or actually, the schedule's a little bit different tomorrow. We'll get back to you on that. But we are going to have the Roundtable tomorrow in the afternoon. Know that. And I will be with you tomorrow afternoon. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks, Adam Clute, for running the board. Have a good night.